We were singing this morning, I was thinking of the song, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together. Remember that song?
Yeah.
I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with... Good enough. It's just a good feeling. Like, I get to ride the bus most Sunday mornings. And I'll tell you, if you ride on the bus, it's a hoot. It is really fun because I really get to hear about great things that God's doing. How many of you were healed last week?
Amen.
One back there, one there, one there. There's people, like last week, like Diane's been struggling with her health for months and months and months, and she's great. I know Kim had said that she had an infection in her face, and it was all sore and bothering her, and right after church it was gone. I've had some pretty serious back problems over the last couple of years. Just got hit in the back end of my car. And last Sunday, it isn't perfect yet, but I'll tell you, I slept many nights and didn't wake up from pain this week. So I was like, blessed. I know there was like, I think Angie had some sciatica in her other hip. Like she has the one hip that gives her trouble with the MS, but the other hip, she was in a lot of pain last week. And God healed her right in service. That was beautiful. And you know what? God's the same this Sunday as he was last Sunday. So if you need healing today, if you need God to touch your heart, if you need peace today, if you need anything today, reach out and ask him. It's beautiful. He loves you. I've been praying for these days for a long time. To come to church and hear every week about something God's doing. I don't think I've had a week that's gone by in the last few months where someone hasn't come up to me. Tears in their eyes and say, God, touch me today. You know? And I think that's powerful. I think God's doing something great at Jubilee. I think we need to just rejoice in that and really be blessed by it. This week at Bible study, we've had some great times in prayer, but I thought this week was exceptional. I really left on Wednesday night feeling really like I had been with God. I felt like I had learned, that I had grown. I felt a lot of really, you know, like God is at work. We got to just reach out and work with him. I'm a person who doesn't really love being at the front. I got to be honest with you. I've always been kind of a shy kid. And I know that's hard to believe because you know me now. But when I was young, I was really shy. I really felt, you know, like I didn't connect with people. And still, many times being at the front and being the center of attention really doesn't thrill me. You know, most Sundays I approach this pulpit with like fear and trembling because I really realize how important it is that we preach the gospel, preach the truth, and then not only preach it, but do it, right? I think Pastor Peter said that this morning and Bob both said that. There's this whole idea that not only enough to know the word, but to do the word. So we need to live. As a pastor, I have to live in fear and reverence of God and live right. Live the way I preach, but so do you, right? We all do. We have to live lives transparent. I listen to the radio and I listen to talk shows and I hear, you know, so many times how as believers we failed the world so many times by just falling down and making stupid mistakes. And I just pray that God really gives us the strength to live for him and live openly and transparently for him. I don't even know why I said all that. But here we are, New Year 2015. It's not the first Sunday. Mark came in the first Sunday, and that was a blessing. You guys all remember what he talked about? Main mission of the church. It's the main mission. But what was the main mission, right? To win souls, right? To reach out, to touch people, to share God's love with people. So I just think that's so important for us to realize. Sometimes it's so easy because this is sort of the culture that's developed over thousands of years in church world is bring people to church, let them sit in the theater, let them listen to what's being said. Hopefully they'll go to the front and fall down or something and then everybody's life will change. But the real thing that Jesus said to everybody is go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, right? You go into your world. I go into my world, we preach the gospel, we come back together in church, we celebrate, we grow together, we encourage each other in the Lord, we we give each other enough strength to go out there and do it again for another week, and we move on. So we're at the beginning of 2015, and I'm really excited for this year. Last year was a great year. We saw, you know, a couple dozen people give their heart to Jesus. That's like beautiful to me. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And this year, really expecting, you know, many, many more times that. I really believe that God wants to reach people, and I'm willing to cooperate, and I know you are. So, I'm believing God that, you know, there's great things in store for 2015. I like to start the year with just kind of an idea of where we're going, kind of a theme for the year. Last year, we talked about renovating and just going back and sort of re-looking at, you know, what we do as church, how we do as church, what life should be like as a believer. And, you know, we started pretty strong with that and through the year came up. This year, our theme is, if you were here Wednesday night, you already heard it. It is to know, to grow, and to go. Not necessarily in sequence, but all together at the same time. To know God, really, you know, I would like to read a scripture. I don't have it there on the screen, but I'll just read it to you. It's found in Philippians 3, verse 8, so we'll start to 11. It says, this is Paul speaking, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. How many of us can say that? That we left behind a world that now we count as rubbish, that we now have the pleasure of serving Christ. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not trying to earn it my own way, not trying to do things my will, my way, but which is my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I can know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, that I may know him. That's one of my heart's cries this year. And I'm not saying we don't know him, because I think many of us do. And I'm not saying that we should know him by ticking more boxes and doing more routines, but we should know him by relationship and experience with him. Like, I could say this. What happened to Diane this week in her healing, you could tell, everybody could tell her whatever they want, but she knows that she was touched by Jesus and by relationship, because that was hard fought for. She's been fighting since she really committed her life to Christ, like probably mid-year last year, and she's been fighting through some serious, serious health stuff and kept saying, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting God. And trusting God and belief in God and experience with God now, she has a knowing of God that you can't take away from her. Now, she could forget it. And I think a lot of us do forget the goodness of God in our lives. We forget all the good things he's done. You know, David said, count your blessings, right? Like, we should go, it wasn't even David, it was just a song. Count your blessings. Here, I'm going back in the old days again. Turned 50 this year. Now I'm a classic, and I'm just going back to the old songs. It's all good. Mark Davey and I always have this thing. So I laugh. He sings songs so old I never even heard them before. You know that song we were singing at the end of the service last week? Anybody ever hear that before? Only two or three people. I never heard it before, but we always have good fun with it. Anyway, where was I? Count your blessings, right? So we're just talking this week. I want to talk about knowing God, knowing him, not just knowing about him, but knowing him. Not just being familiar with the concept, but having a knowing in our heart about him. A knowing. I have actually a little note I made myself I just want to turn to here. I was thinking about this and knowing. When, you know, I'm scared of heights. Like, I'm not scared of Rottweilers. I'm not scared of, like, just about anything I'm not afraid of, but I'm terrified of heights. Some of the biggest fights Christine and I have had is when she's taking the kids too close to the edge of a cliff and I get all panicky, you know? So I'm scared of heights, but I remember when we were kids, my aunt came down from Michigan and she took us to this movie at Ontario Place called The Silent Sky. And it was in an IMAX theater. It was a glider. And you were like swooping up and swooping down. And you know, it was like, feel your guts going, right? And it was like amazing. And I've always thought that would be really cool to do that. But being the chicken I am, I've never really done it. So I have a pretty good familiarity. I've watched, you know, people, you know, I've watched, you know, gliders glide. And we see them even around here sometimes. And I've gone to that show and I've sort of felt maybe what it would be like, but I've never actually glided. I've never actually been in a plane that was a glider and hung on the wind, you know? And sometimes we're like that about God. We have a fairly good familiarity with Him. We've watched Him move. We've even probably felt Him move, right? But many times we have never totally, completely surrendered ourselves to that move, right? And we have a good familiarity with God, but we've never really just actually stepped in. Or some of us have, and then we've taken a step back over time just through whatever life situations we faced, and we forgot who this God is that we once hung on the wind with. I always think it's a beautiful thing, you know, when we think about God and the move of His Spirit. It's really like, you know, hanging on the wind. It's that beauty and that feeling of power from the wind, but complete trust that wind's going to hold you up. It's beautiful. So we want to know God. I want to know Him. I want to remember Him, everything that He's done for me. I was actually reading a novel, and this is sort of where this idea came from. Of my theme this year. I know, like, some people hate novels. They think they're a waste of time. I'm a novel reader. I love reading novels. And some of them are, like, almost like chick flicks, you know, a little bit of love, a little bit of danger, a little bit of all that. And I can sit there and laugh and cry while I read the book. And, you know, and some of them are just like, you know, hunting serial killers. And some of them are war. And I just love novels. But I'm reading this novel by Davis Bunn. He's a good writer, by the way, good Christian writer. And but the book I've been reading, I've seen it many, many times and just never bothered with it because it looked pretty boring. And actually, it is a little boring. But it's called The Maestro. And it's really about a guy in Europe that was in the whole music scene. And really, you know, he got around people and he felt this emptiness and he was searching for something more. And his friend got saved and his friend, you know, led him to Christ, and he felt this just tugging in his heart, and he fell over the edge for God, right, and gave up, you know, what he had and used his gifts for Jesus. And it was just really, what it did, though, is it really stirred me up and reminded me of the early days of my Christian walk. You know, when we were just so moved and so excited about everything God was doing, and which I am again today, by the way. I'm really excited about what God's doing. But like, it just stirred me and reminded me, and God really spoke to me in that and said, you know what, like, those days were important. It's important for you to know me. It's important for you to not forget my goodness. It's important for you to remember those days, but also to experience those days today. That's why the theme is to know God, because it's not just to have known God, right, but to know Him today, to grow in Him. Right? And in his will and His way. But then to use what He's given us to go. So, I really got to get to my notes here. I think that I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. But when we came to Christ, most of us, we didn't come because we had it all together. We came broken. We came lost. We came bored, some of us. Some of us felt empty. Some of us were dying of something. Some of us were wishing we could die from something. Some of us were like, you know, we are just all over the place in our walks, in our lives. And we felt God calling us. We felt the tug of the Holy Spirit on our hearts, drawing us to Him. We didn't even know what it was. We just knew that there was something. We had this idea inside of us that there was something more, something better, something bigger than what we knew. You know, a lot of people say there's this God-shaped vacuum inside of us that only God can fill. And that's probably a good description of it. But we feel this drawing and this calling, you know, to something that's greater. I think that if everybody in the world's honest, most people feel that drawing, that feeling. I've worked for people that were multi-millionaires. And really the saddest people I've ever met. So worried about losing what they had, so busy at scratching to get more, so worried about whatever friends they had being only friends because they had money and all these different things. You know, I've worked in environments. I worked for this one guy. I used to do deposits for him. And these were not like you know, a business selling goods. And I was depositing his commission checks. And I would go into the bank once a week and deposit like checks of $50,000 and $60,000, $70,000 in commission checks. But this guy was just always struggling and worrying. And he came to Christ. And I saw God transform his life. But he was always worried. And it was really that emptiness he felt that led him to Jesus. Acts 17, and again, I don't have it on the thing. I was just thinking this morning as I was getting ready for this. Verse 26 and 27 says, "And he, that is God, made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far away from each one of us." That God actually is always working, trying to bring us into the vicinity of him so we will just even by accident touch him, touch one of his people, connect with his heart for a moment and just grasp that and feel him and know there's more than what we've ever had. So as unbelievers, we were in this place where we felt, you know, confined. We felt maybe depressed, maybe hopeless, maybe sick, whatever. We felt this tugging in our hearts that we were meant for something greater than this, that there was someone or something beyond us that could fill this emptiness or this void that we felt inside of us. And once in a while, we'd feel these moments of joy, these moments of peace as we drew near God. And then out of fear so many times, we just push away. We push back. I think as believers sometimes, we still do that. We push back. We say, "God, I'm not willing to go there." But I think before we find Christ, sometimes we're just like, we know, we could feel, we know he's calling us, and we just do not want to give up the life we have. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just held on. I remember how tightly I held on to my pain, to my unforgiveness, to my anger. I thought, I don't want to give this to God. And then I thought, I just had this moment where I thought, well, why would I want to live with this any longer? Why does anyone want to live the life you have when God has something so much better for you? So we push back, we want our own selfish and self-directed ways and follow our own urges. We draw back only to feel the ache again and that emptiness that we need from God, that needs to be filled by God. And it begins to suck us back into our old way of life. And then we reach out and we grab on to God, and then we move back and we grab on and we move back. And so many people, for some, it's just like, I want God. I'm stepping into God. Other people, they fight over it for months. Some people fight over it for years. They want, and then they don't want. They want this, they don't want that. But God calls, and God calls until one day we finally realize the love that God has for us, that he displayed for us when he sent his son to the cross to die for us. And we We surrender. We surrender all to Him. Now, this is an important part of following Christ, knowing God, is surrender. Because a lot of times we dabble. You might say, well, you know what? I've been around church my whole life. I don't know what you're talking about. Being filled, having that emptiness gone, the loneliness gone. But a lot of it has to do with surrender. I don't think you could fully experience God and His power and His love for you until you completely surrender your life to Him. I feel like that so many times we're still hanging on there to our old life. We're still trying to keep that old part of us alive when God's calling us to a life of surrender in Him. And that's what He wants for us. Because on the other side of surrender, there's something so much more beautiful, so much more wonderful than we've ever experienced. We have to come to the point where we say, I cannot do this on my own. I can't live on my own anymore. I can't do this by myself. And we throw ourselves into the arms of our loving Savior. This is what David said. And we sang this morning in Jesus, Lover of My Soul. It's found in Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, verse 1, for the Lord's help. Then He listened to me and He heard my cry. He pulled me out of a dangerous pit, out of a deadly quicksand. He set me safely on a rock and made me secure. He taught me to sing a new song, a song of praise to our God. Many who see this will take warning and will put their trust in the Lord. If we back up a couple chapters here to Psalm 38, this is sort of David's testimony. I'm not exactly sure on timing. I didn't look at the timing, but I could sort of see in here that David, this was probably the time where he had sinned with Bathsheba, but might not be. But David was in a place that he knew that he was away from God, that he had done things that had angered the Lord and was crying out for mercy to God. It's found in Psalm 38, verse 1. It says, and this is the Message Bible. I like it because it kind of really brings it into our day, right? Take a deep breath, God. You know, how many of you kids have ever wanted your parents to do that? Take a deep breath. Think about what you're about to do to me, right? Calm down. Don't be too hasty with your punishing rod. Your sharp pointed arrows of rebuke draw blood. My backside smarts from your caning. I've lost. They didn't have the wooden spoon, eh? It was the cane. I've lost 20 pounds in 2 months because of your accusations. My bones are brittle as dry sticks because of my sin. Notice this. His bones were brittle because of his sin, right? I'm swamped with my bad behavior. I'm swamped by my bad behavior, collapsed under gunny sacks of guilt. The cuts in my flesh stink and grow maggots because I've lived so badly. And now I'm flat on my face, feeling sorry for myself morning to night. All my insides are on fire. My body is a wreck. I'm on my last legs. I've had it. My life is a vomit of groans. Lord, pretty sad day, eh? But this is where sin and a life of sin will take you. Really, it will. Lord, my longings are sitting in plain sight. My groans are an old story to you. My heart's about to break. I'm a burned out case. Cataracts blind me to God and to good. Old friends avoid me like the plague. My cousins never visit. Really? Some people are like, praise Jesus. No. My neighbors stab me in the back. This guy lived in a bad neighborhood. My competitors blacken my name. Devoutly they pray for my ruin. But I'm deaf and mute to it all. Ears shut, mouth shut. I don't hear a word they say. Don't speak a word in response. What do I do? God is wait for you. What I do, God, is wait for you. Wait for my Lord. My God, you will answer. This is a great, this verse is a great verse, right? I am deaf and mute to it all. Shut your ears, shut your mouth, right? I don't hear a word they say, and I don't speak a word in response. He heard the words. He just chose to shut them out. And what did he say? But, Lord, this is what I will do. I will wait for you. I will wait for you. I think this is a really, really, like, this is like over the top language, right? But I think what Diane went through with her health was a lot of like this, right? There was a lot of stuff here, and she's like, I'm waiting on God. And God touched her. We need to wait on God, right? None of this, it really says, like, you know, these things that happened to David, it said, my sin did this. My flesh stinks because I live so badly. I'm, you know, all these things. Anyway, David realized that his life was messed up. And as I said, I think that all of us were at this point when we realized that we couldn't do it alone and we came to Christ. I think we all looked to God in hopes that he would save us from the destruction that we had done to our own lives. I think we did. I did. I know there was a time in my life where I just needed God to do something. I think that we all came to Christ hoping that he could heal us and give us peace and restore our souls, lead us into the paths of righteousness, that we would become part of something better than we could ever imagine. That was the promise, right? That you know, he'll give us a life and a more abundant life, right? I remember, I'm pointing people out, but I think testimonies are important. I remember when I first met Angie, and Angie came to church. She came to visit because Jean had gone through this transformation. And Angie was telling me the story, and she said, well, my mom, I came to her house one day, and mom wouldn't stop crying. And she's crying and she's crying and she's going, Mom, you're freaking me out. You're scaring me. What's wrong? And her Jean's saying, like, nothing wrong, baby. I'm happy. But like for hours and hours she cried. And she told me she thought maybe mom went cuckoo, right? Like finally cracked it up. And she really felt like that there was this like she didn't know what was going on. But Jean experienced the transformational power of God and it impacted her family. That God, when we let him in, he transforms our lives. And that's what David is talking about in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord's help. And then he listened to me and heard my cry. He pulled me out of a dangerous pit, out of a deadly quicksand. He set my feet on a rock and made me secure. He taught me to sing a new song, a song of praise to our God. Many who see it will take this warning and will put their trust in the Lord. This is what David was saying. God, I waited on him. He changed my situation. He took me from a place where everything was messed up, and he put me in a place of strength and security. He sought out the God that he had turned his back on and was healed. He was set on a rock. He was filled with a new song. That's what the Bible said, a new song. So what kind of song was it that David was filled with? What kind of song are we filled with? What's the story that we're singing with our lives? So the first kind of song it was, for David, it was a song of deliverance, right? This song describes how God had rescued him, how he brought David out of a horrible pit, out of the horrible turmoil of his life. He said, he pulled me out of a dangerous pit, out of deadly quicksand. He delivered me. I remember when I was a little kid, we had this garden out behind the house, and it was clay, you know. I remember being out there in my boots, my rubber boots, and I got in the mud, and I got stuck. So I was like trying to pull my feet out. And the harder I tried to pull them out, the more stuck I got. And I was out behind the house, and I remember crying. I'm stuck. Someone help me. Someone save me. You know, and my mom came out, and she pulled me out of my boots, and she took me in the house. Right? That's what God did for David. That's what God did for you and me. He took us out of our boots and put us on a solid place. I remember my dad, I think when he got home, he went back and got the boots, you know, but they were in there. Like, every time I moved, it was like, got deeper and deeper and more stuck. You ever been like that? You ever felt like that in life? the more you try to do to fix your life, the more you try to do to set it right, the more stuck you felt, the more messed up you were. Every time, sometimes we make a move, we get deeper into the pit. I remember I was in a place, and I said this last week, but I was in a place where I was so hurt and frustrated. So hurt and so frustrated. And I remember just saying, God, I just can't do it anymore. I can't live this way anymore. I need you. I remember saying to God, it was a time where a lot of my friends turned their back on me, right? I felt a big time of betrayal in my life. And I remember saying to God, I just want someone to love me. I just want a friend who loves me. I want a friend who really would care about me. And I remember this. Clear as day, God said to me, I love you. Change my life. It seriously changed my life. I went from being a person who was kind of shy, kind of like, you know, scared to make friends because I've been hurt, to a person now where I have so many friends and so many friends that I've been friends with for 20s of years. Like I have friends I've been friends for 35 years and good, strong relationships. And God has done such a beautiful thing in my life. Even some of those relationships from beforehand, God restored and redeemed and made them good. I went from a place of being lonely and sad and angry to be in a place of just joy and being filled with Him. I'll never forget what He did for me. I'll never forget how He saved me, how He pulled me out. There is a deliverer. There is a deliverer. And He wants to save you. He wants to take you from a place of insecurity to a place of security. The second kind of song it was for David was a song of security. God took him out of a place of insecurity, a place where everything was shifting, and put his feet on a rock. The actual Hebrew words there mean that he put him on a sure foundation or even in a fortress. So he's stuck in a pit, and he's moved to a fortress where he was on his own, and then he had God with him. That's what God wants to do in each one of our lives. For many of us, that's what he's already done. He's already moved us from a place of trouble to a place of safety. Jesus can handle your troubles. He can handle them. And so can we once we learn to keep our eyes upon him. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling like life is too challenging for you, surrender your life. Again, here's one thing I found. The pit God dragged you out of when you called to him, if you hang too close to the edge of that pit, you'll fall right back in. My greatest source of struggle and warfare is in the area of relationships, of being lonely, of feeling betrayed. Whenever I let myself get into that, ooh, nobody's nice to me, everybody hurts me, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, you know, then I'm like, God, save me again. I'm just telling you, whatever God dragged you out of, stay away from it. Put your trust in him. We just sang that song today, Jesus, lover of my soul. You've taken me out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. And now, I know, right? This is what it says, I know. There's a knowing when God pulls you out of the muck, out of the dirt, out of the stickiness of this world and puts your feet on a rock. You got to know you can trust him. Jesus really is the rock that we can rely on. He's the rock that God places our life on. All other ground, the Bible says, sinking sand. That's the truth that this song of security was built upon. Third thing, it was a song of thanksgiving. In Psalm 40, the rest of Psalm 40 really speaks of David's thankfulness to God for dragging him out, for pulling him out. Isn't it sad that in our culture and in our world, we have so much stuff and we're so unthankful? You know, we just are always chasing for more, right? Little nicer house, little nicer clothes, little better car, little bigger TV, little bit of this, little bit of that. But as a culture, we're just unthankful. Unthankful. But I think it's really kind of sad and really kind of interesting, right, that the reason probably that we are unthankful is because most of this stuff has no value whatsoever. It's not valuable. All this stuff is just stuff. You don't take it with you. It's like I heard this country song the other day. I don't have a trailer hitch on a hearse, right? Right? There's just no, you know, you can't take it with you. You can't haul it with you to heaven. This is all just stuff. But what we need to be thankful for is the work of God in our lives and what he's done. Fourth kind of song, and I'm going to close with this because we're going to do communion in a minute, but it was a song of knowing God through experience. We must personally experience what God can do in our lives in order to understand his divine majesty. No one could put his power into words. We cannot learn lessons through watching and observing others. We must surrender to his will ourselves and look to him for guidance in all things in order to understand. We cannot live our life through someone else's experience. You can't live it through your parents' experience, kids. You can't live it through your kids' experience, parents. We can't live it through anybody. We have to surrender our own lives to Christ. We can look at God and what he did for David. Look at what he's done for in the lives around us and the change that has occurred. And hear the song that they're singing, be filled with awe about it. But the point comes where we have to surrender our own hearts and our own lives to Christ. We have to. So my question today is, what kind of song are you singing? What is your life song about? All of us are singing in one way or another. We're singing, we're telling our testimony about what our life is about, whether we like it or not. The question is, what is the thing that your heart loves the most? What is it that your song is singing? What's the message of your song? What do you hold dearest to your heart? What song does the world hear through the witnessing of your life? It's only when we allow Jesus to be our Lord, only when we realize that he's the only one that can cleanse us from sin, that we can find a true and lasting peace and hope and sing as David did. We can sing the same song that David sang, because God wants to do that in our lives. Lord, we come to you this morning. We just thank you that, Lord, you are King. We sang that song, you are our God, you are our King. The question, Lord, we have today, or the thing we have to answer as people is, Lord, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to love? How are we going to live? Lord, are we going to be willing to surrender, Lord, our lives to you? Or are we going to hold back parts of it? Lord, really, I think that your word is really clear when it says that to really know you, we have to be fully surrendered to you. So, Lord, that's my prayer, Lord, today for myself, Lord, for this church. Lord, that each one of us would fully surrender to you. Lord, whether, Lord, we're just new here today and, you know, some of us haven't even started a walk with Christ, Lord, today I pray that they would do that today. Lord, each person here that needs to know you, that they would come to know you today. Lord, there might be people here today that once did know you and have sort of just let their love grow cold. Lord, I pray today would be a day of surrender, Lord, for them. But Lord, for even all of us, Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, even just touch upon the areas in our life where we have not fully surrendered, where we have not fully turned it over to you, Lord, where we have not, Lord, really just allowed you to be King, Lord of everything. Lord, that we would, Lord, seek you fully. And Lord, that in seeking you fully, that we would find you fully. I ask this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.